Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
What is up, Eastern Iowa? Welcome in. 2:05 on a Tuesday afternoon. Spencer on Sports back with you for another work day. You're having a great day so far. Hard to be inside the office today. Beautiful sunshine-filled day across Eastern Iowa, as far as I can tell. I see nothing but blue skies out the window to my left. We kick off local programming, another jam-packed show for you here on a Tuesday afternoon. We thank you for listening on 1600 AM, 102.3 on your FM dial in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City on the stream, KGYMRadio.com, worldwide on the stream. Also on your app, our app, for your phone. Download it today, absolutely free in the App Store and on your smart speaker device. Spencer Wagon, my name. Producer Ben is here as well, 319-366-1600, talk or text line wide open for you here on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. A lot to get to today. It's one of those times of year, you know, we'll be the first to admit it. There's not a lot of live sports going on. We've got baseball and, baseball. We've got golf. We've got Wimbledon on the TV screen here in the studio. I am not a tennis expert, so I will defer to those who are. I'm not a golf expert either, so I will defer to those who are as well. We'll talk baseball coming up here in just a moment. We got a lot of off-season stuff going on. We got NBA free agency approaching. We got Kyrie dropping deep quotes when opting in for $37 million. We'll get to that later on in the show if we got some time. We got some interesting stuff happening in the world of college sports, and that's one thing I do want to talk about today. News coming out earlier today, the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, not of particular interest or concern to us here in Eastern Iowa. Maybe there are some, you know, Clemson or Florida State backers, Georgia Tech, whatever, fans out there randomly in the Midwest, but not of particular concern. But it is interesting to see what conferences are doing when it comes to new scheduling models. And the ACC was the latest to put out a release saying what they're going to be doing for the future, and that includes no divisions, one team from this division, one team from this division. It's going to be all one big happy family, and they've got a new scheduling model that came out earlier today, going to start next season in 2023. We'll talk about that a little bit and get your thoughts on the talker text line about what the Big Ten should do, because it's an interesting conversation as we go toward the future of college football here. Of course, a lot of talk surrounding a separate governance structure with the college football playoff and the NCAA. Name, image, and likeness playing a big role in college athletics these days. And then the question of what should teams do when it comes to structuring their schedule, structuring how their conference operates with realignment and all the different factors playing into it. The ACC giving us a clue of what they're doing. We'll talk about that and get your thoughts on potential Big Ten changes to a schedule, to scheduling models going forward. That'll be coming up later on in the show. Also, it is that time of the year, and if you ask me, in my humble opinion, it's still way too early to even be talking about this, but it's that time of year. We are now getting off-season NFL mock drafts. Matt Miller from ESPN, one of their draft analysts, putting out his first-round mock for the 2023 draft. Haven't even gotten to training camp yet. Haven't even gotten to college football season or the NFL regular season yet, but we've got a mock draft. We'll tell you about some of the intriguing things happening in Matt Miller's mock here that just came out earlier today. We'll talk about that in a few moments as well. Again, love to hear from you today. 319-366-1600. We'll start with the baseball world. We'll check out the scoreboard here in just a moment. Later day on Monday, but some interesting things happening in the world of baseball yesterday, and we'll take a look at the schedule for tonight's action. Do have one game on the calendar today, the Twins and Guardians playing a doubleheader today. But we've got some news from the world of baseball. I've been following this story since since the brouhaha, the Donnybrook, the fisticuffs, whatever old timey word to describe a fight, brawl, you could just call it what it is, between the Angels and the Mariners on Sunday. You knew there was going to be consequences. Not only were players removed from the game on Sunday, there were suspensions, and quite a few of them. That is one of the lead stories in the baseball world here for today. And Major League Baseball announcing these late in the day on Monday. The sheer number of suspensions is not all that surprising, just considering how things went down in Anaheim on Sunday. Of course, it's all started Saturday night, a pitcher throwing at Mike Trout, and then a retaliation, and Jesse Winker got hit and got upset. When all said and done, a combined 12 members, 12 of the Angels and Mariners received discipline due to their involvement in the benches clearing incident on Sunday. So here's the breakdown. The list is rather lengthy for the Angels. Manager Phil Nevin highlighting the list. I mean, not really highlighting because he's suspended. So can you really highlight something if you're suspended? I don't think so. But Phil Nevin, their interim manager, suspended for 10 games. MLB saying that suspension is, quote, for the intentional throwing by pitcher Andrew Wants while warnings were in place, end quote. So 10-game suspension for manager Phil Nevin. Injured third baseman Anthony Rendon, who is out for the year because of a wrist injury. Injured third baseman Anthony Rendon suspended for 5 games, which he will need to serve when he returns to action. He's not allowed to sit on the Angels bench for the next 7 games. Pitcher Andrew Wants, he is suspended for 3 games due to the inside pitch that ended up hitting Jesse Winker. Dom Chitty, C-H-I-T-I. If that's a guy I'm supposed to remember, I'm not remembering him well, but he's the assistant pitching coach for the Angels. He received a 5-game suspension for what MLB says are his actions during the incident. Pitcher Ryan Tepera has been suspended for 3 games. Pitcher Raisel Iglesias, Mr. Sunflower Seed Thrower, he's been suspended 2 games. Bench coach Ray Montgomery, he got a 2-game suspension. Catching coach Bill Hazelman getting a 1-game suspension. And here's the, do I call it a kicker? Here's the one that really stands out. You know things get serious, or got serious, when the interpreter, one of the interpreters, gets suspended for his action in the benches clearing brawl. Interpreter Manny Del Campo, he received a 2-game suspension for his actions. So that's just the Angels alone. All the suspensions I listed off, from Phil Nevin, interim manager, 10-game suspension, all the way down to the catching coach, we got a 1-game suspension, Bill Hazelman. That is the Angels side of things. For the Mariners, Jesse Winker, obviously, he was going to face some discipline. He's been suspended for 7 games for what MLB says are, quote, actions that caused the incident and for fighting, end quote. Shortstop J.P. Crawford getting a 5-game suspension for fighting. Mariners outfielder Julio Rodriguez also getting a 2-game suspension for his actions. So between Jesse Winker and Phil Nevin alone, that's 17 games missed for the two of them for being suspended. 10 for Phil Nevin, 7 for Jesse Winker. Just totally crazy. But obviously, when you see something like that on the field, it's warranted. You got to be held accountable for your actions. And that's how things have played out. Ray Montgomery, by the way, the bench coach who got a 2-game suspension as part of this, he is going to be the interim manager for the Angels. He is going to manage the next 10 games for Los Angeles in Phil Nevin's absence and then serve his 2-game suspension. Also some reporting that the Mariners are going to be allowed to stagger the suspensions for Winker, Crawford, and Rodriguez. But saw something last night. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. But they're going to be allowed to stagger those suspensions so they're not all out at once. Again, 7 for Winker, 5 for Crawford, and 2 for Rodriguez. But it sounds like the Mariners will not be allowed to call someone up to take their spot. So, far-reaching suspensions, 12 members combined between the Angels and Mariners receiving suspensions because of that brawl. And more reaction to that, I'm sure, throughout the rest of our local programming today. One other piece of news for baseball before we get into the scoreboard. This is interesting, too. This is, look, there's a lot of politics going on in our day and age. Again, you don't want to hear Spencer on politics, so that's not what I'm bringing you. But interesting story here. Bipartisan members of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee sending a letter to this nonprofit group. You've probably seen their work if you're active on social media, and you've seen them in the news, I'm sure. It's a group called Advocates for Minor Leaguers, who does just what their title says. They advocate for minor league players. Members of the Judiciary Committee sending a letter to that group requesting further information on Major League Baseball's antitrust exemption and how it interplays with three recent developments in baseball. One, the pay structure for minor league players. Two, Major League Baseball's reduction in the number of minor league affiliates. And just the general status, the state of the international amateur system for Major League Baseball. The two-page letter was dated earlier today. The Athletic reporting it's signed by Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois, Iowa's own Chuck Grassley, the Republican here from Iowa, as well as Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut and Mike Lee from Utah. Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, saying it's a bipartisan request for information, and it's going to, quote, help inform the committee about the impact of this exemption, especially when it comes to minor league and international prospects. Senator Durbin saying, quote, we need to make sure that all professional ball players get to play on a fair and level field. Chuck Grassley weighing in with a statement saying, quote, MLB's special antitrust exemption should not be imposing labor or contraction problems for minor league teams and players. Senator Grassley is saying baseball is America's pastime, and that means more than just the major leagues. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, but that Judiciary Committee weighing in and asking the Advocates for Minor Leaguers group for further information about how the antitrust exemption works into those three things I talked about. Pay structure, the reduction of minor league affiliates. Of course, we know that hit two communities here in our state impacted them with Burlington and Clinton when that happened, and the state of the international amateur system. More on that as we learn it here as well. At 2:17, coming up on 2:18, this is Spencer on Sports here for a Tuesday afternoon on KGYM. We'll take a first break of the show. We'll come back, talk a little bit more baseball with you. Check out the scoreboard, look at the schedule for the baseball games on your docket, major leagues. Also take a look at Colonels series starting tonight up at Fox City Stadium in Appleton, Wisconsin, against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. We'll talk about that and more coming up here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine as we head through the rest of the day today. It is going to be warm, a little more humid and breezy. Temperatures will be in the mid-80s. Later this evening, we are going to have some clouds passing on through, and there may be a stray shower overnight. Tomorrow, we're once again into the sunshine. We're going to be warmer and stickier. Temperatures will be in the upper 80s. We're in the low 90s on Thursday, and then storm chances increase Thursday night into Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat with Jason Fitz. ESPN Radio Sports Beat with Jason Fitz.
And the people rejoiced. Kyrie has made a decision and is going back to the Nets. Hopefully you can sense my sarcasm here. What real choice did he have otherwise? The concept that a sign and trade was going to be accomplished, I think, was always a failed one. And if you actually talked to NBA experts along the way about what that contract would look like and what would be required, the answer was almost always the same. It's virtually impossible to do, and few teams would actually be interested. What do you know? That turned out to be the case, with the Lakers supposedly being the only team that actually seemed to have any interest in it, although we'll never know if that's just the Lakers being used as leverage. What does that say about the Lakers brand? That at this point, it's not really about the Lakers. It's just about the leverage you can get. But either way, Kyrie made the bold decision to take all that money and come back to the Nets. Now, let's refocus the conversation. KD, Kyrie should be, in theory, capable of playing together this season. Now, can we focus the conversation away from whatever Kyrie wanted to do to what's actually happening on the court and ask ourselves the real question? Are the Nets going to be the best team in the East? And if they're not, isn't it okay to still call this entire experiment an abject failure? I don't think they will be, and I think we've already seen the answer. This was failed. Look, sometimes when you stink, you just want a fast solution. This year doesn't exist. The free agency crop has some players. Yeah, has a couple of good, like we're all obsessing over Brunson, and suddenly we're obsessing over DeAndre Ayton. They've had great moments. But let's not get it twisted. We're not looking at some franchise-saving player available in free agency this year. That is the hardest part. I understand the frustration of every single fan base that wants to be better right now. But what do you do when you look around and the pieces aren't there that can actually make that happen? With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Spain and Fitz's Jason Fitz.
Good morning, boss.
What's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk.
You mean Hope Desk?
Hope Desk.
I call and hope I get help, but they either stick me on hold or say I'll get a call back in a couple hours. We need help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, then you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
Get help now with IT Solutions. They continually monitor their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hope desk for you to call for your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you never just hope. You get help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
Get 11% off everything you need for your 4th of July celebration at Menards. Enjoy the sun with a folding quad chair. Now, just $9.99 after 11% off. Don't forget about protecting your skin with Australian Gold Spray Sunscreen with Bronzer. It smells great and offers protection from the sun. Now, just $7.56 after 11% off. Good through July 4th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
All right, back at 223, Spencer on Sports with you for a Tuesday afternoon through at 936-6600, your talk or text line, or our talk or text line, your connection to me here in the studio. You pick up the phone, give a call, or send us a text. 309-366-1600. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd and Alex in here between 4 and 6. The summer of Remember Some Guys is here between 4 and 6. If you enjoy remembering random players from somewhat modern times or days of old, your place to be is KGYM Radio. 309-366-1600 at 223. Stick with baseball. A little bit longer, we've got a scoreboard check for you. Let's look at what's happening today in Major League Baseball. Doubleheader action between the Twins and Guardians underway, and the Twins just grabbed a 2-1 lead over Cleveland. That game in the top half of the eighth innings. If I can pull up the box score for you here to let you know what is going on in that contest. Twins down 1-0 going into the seventh, scoring a run in the seventh and a run in the eighth for a 2-1 lead so far. Go-ahead triple by Celestino, getting the Twins on the board to tie the game, and then Carlos Correa with a solo home run to put them in front 2-1. That is the only action on the scoreboard for today. That game, or that series, I should say, will resume later on this evening in Cleveland. And we'll get to the rest of the schedule in just a moment. Last night, the Twins scoring a win in the first game of that series in Cleveland, beating the Guardians 11-1. It was the bottom of the lineup last night for the Twins who had the most production. Gary Sanchez, 3-for-5 with a home run, drove in 4. Gio Urshela, 3-for-5, a double and 3 driven in. Alex Kirilloff, perfect at the plate, 3-for-3 with an RBI and a run scored. And 7 shutout innings for Sonny Gray last night as the Twins won 11-1. White Sox, we talked about the Angels and the bevy of suspensions facing their players, coaches, and manager. The Angels still won last night 4-3 over the White Sox late last night. Taylor Ward, a go-ahead two-run double in the 7th. Brandon Marsh, 3-for-4 with a triple, an RBI and 2 runs scored, and 7 strong innings from Noah Syndergaard for the Angels. In the win, Andrew Vaughn, Jose Abreu with RBI doubles for the White Sox in the loss. Cardinals got their series going with Miami last night with a win, 9-0, beating the Marlins down in St. Louis. Paul Goldschmidt still doing Paul Goldschmidt things, at least for 2022, 4-for-4, a double, a home run, and 2 driven in. Juan Yepez with 2 home runs and 5 RBI last night. Strong start for Wayno, too. Adam Wainwright, 7 innings pitched, 7 hits, no runs, walked 1, and struck out 9 in the win for the Cardinals. Royals, after trading away Carlos Santana yesterday, they lost their first game without Carlos Santana. Not like it would have made much of a difference, but the Royals fall 10-4. Mitch Garver, 2-for-4 with a home run and 2 driven in for the Rangers last night. Colorado, how about them? Shutting out the Dodgers, a complete game for Chad Kuhl in the 4-0 win. Former Pittsburgh Pirate, 9 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, struck out 5. Just 3 hits total for the Dodgers last night. Gavin Lux had 2 of those hits for Los Angeles. Washington beating Pittsburgh 3-2. O'Neill Cruz for the Pirates hitting his first home run of the season, a solo home run in the 5th for Pittsburgh. Yankees scoring 6 runs in the 7th to beat Oakland last night 9-5. Not a good night in the end for Cedar Rapids native A.J. Puck. Ended up taking the loss and did not get a batter out in that contest as Oakland fell 9-5. Toronto beating Boston 7-2. And Baltimore, nice night for Adley Rutschman, 2-for-5, home run and 2 driven in. One of 5 home runs on the night for Baltimore last night in a 9-2 victory. Schedule for today, I mentioned the Twins and Guardians playing a doubleheader, game 1. In the latter stages of that one, game 2 is tonight at 6:10 out in Cleveland. Other series in action, Atlanta at Philly, the Yankees hosting Oakland once again, Washington and Pittsburgh back at it again tonight. Toronto hosting Boston. The Mets will play host to Houston. Another intriguing series for Houston facing a New York team. Split with the Yankees last week. Now they'll take on the Mets. Brewers, a quick two-gamer against the Tampa Bay Rays down in Tampa at the Trop. Cardinals taking on Miami. The Cubs at home against Cincinnati. Royals hosting Texas. Colorado hosting the Dodgers. White Sox are in Anaheim, that is, taking on the Angels. San Diego and Arizona, Detroit and San Francisco, and Baltimore taking on Seattle. Cedar Rapids Colonels, when you look at the minor leagues, they're opening a 6-game series at Wisconsin tonight. The Timber Rattlers coming in, having won 5-6 against the Quad Cities River Bandits, winning the last 5 in that series. So the Colonels come in off that split against West Michigan. Colonels, of course, they were the first half West Division champions with a 43-23 record. Wisconsin finishing in second place in the first half, 6.5 back in the final first half standings, 36-29 overall record for the Baby Brewers, the high A affiliate of the Brewers. Timber Rattlers currently in a 3-way tie for first place as the second half of the season gets underway. Wisconsin, Beloit, and South Bend all 3-0. As they open the first full series of the second half. Colonels 2 games back with a 1-2 record. Game time tonight is at 6:35 up in Appleton, Wisconsin. 2:29 here at Spencer on Sports. We're going to take a quick 60-second timeout. On the other side, we'll get to some football news and notes. I mentioned Another one of those way too early mock drafts out. Matt Miller from ESPN, one of their NFL draft analysts, putting out mock draft earlier today. We'll go through that, get you some of the intriguing things that he's projecting. Still in a way too early sense, but we'll talk about that. Also get to that discussion topic about the ACC and their new conference scheduling alignment. We'll talk about that and what that might mean for the Big Ten going forward. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit as well. Thanks for checking out Spencer on Sports on the Gym.
Stop buying tickets without rewards and start getting more from the only ticketing company that rewards you for buying, Vivid Seats. Buy 10 tickets, the 11th is on us. That's like 10% back every time you buy. And with 100% buyer guarantee and over 100 million tickets sold, that's something to sing, laugh, cheer, scream, buy about. Head to VividSeats.com for terms and conditions. Vivid Seats. Life happens live.
Bundling home and car insurance with GEICO is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. But who? They may drop little hints like,
beautiful day out. Even more beautiful since we saved by bundling our home and car insurance with GEICO.
Or,
yard work is hard. Much harder than bundling with GEICO, which was easy.
Or it may be even subtler, like,
speaking of burgers, we bundled our home and car insurance with GEICO and saved a bunch of money.
Bundling is easy with GEICO. Just ask your neighbors.
This weekend on ESPN Radio.
To the wall! That's a three-run home run for Paul Goldschmidt.
Paul Goldschmidt leads the St. Louis Cardinals into a seven-game NL East road trip that starts in Philadelphia against the Phillies.
Opposite field home run, Kyle Schwarber.
The Cardinals and Phillies. Coverage begins Saturday at 3:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Progressive Insurance.
All right, back at 2:31, Spencer on Sports with you for Tuesday, 319-366-1600. Before we get into the mock draft news of the day, some breaking NFL news just came out within the last 15 minutes or so. Adam Schefter from ESPN reporting that Terry McLaurin of the Washington football team Commanders. I know they're the Washington Commanders. I just choose to call them the Washington football team Commanders for whatever reason. I'll probably still do that throughout football season. So you don't need to call or text me and say, hey, that's not their name. I know it's not their name. I'm just choosing to call them by a humorous name. I digress. Adam Schefter from ESPN reporting Terry McLaurin from the Commanders signing a three-year extension worth up to $71 million in new money. Schefter saying that places him amongst the NFL's top five highest paid receivers. And the new three-year extension for McLaurin includes a $28 million signing bonus, which Schefter says is the largest given to any wide receiver. 76.4% of the new money and the deal is guaranteed. According to Schefter, the deal ties McLaurin to Washington through the 2025 season. Again, that's per Adam Schefter from ESPN. There was some talk earlier this year, and it was just a bluff for what we have just reported to you, a contract extension. Was it just a bluff from McLaurin's camp to get Washington to pay up? Possibly. There was talk, obviously, with McLaurin, and we're still trying to figure out what's happening with Debo Samuel in San Francisco. Is McLaurin on the block? And a lot of people, you know, speculating, could he be traded to this team, that team, whatever? But it sounds like McLaurin is indeed going to be staying in Washington with the Commanders. 319-366-1600. Jim from Kyoto weighing in on the text line. Something I did not have on the docket today, but the whole Dan Snyder. Mr. Snyder. Sorry. Apparently, reports are he's ignoring a subpoena to testify in front of Congress for this investigation thing. And Jim asking, how can he ignore a subpoena? Good question, Jim. you know, because he's Dan Snyder and he does what he wants. That's my answer. Someone, and this is totally tongue in cheek. I think was it Andrew Brandt. I don't want to put words in mouths, but I saw yesterday someone make that joke that Well, maybe the Senate committee referred to him as Dan and not Mr. Snyder, because we know that Dan Snyder likes to be referred to as Mr. Snyder. So maybe the subpoena was just not addressed to the proper person. It was not addressed to him properly, and therefore he is choosing to ignore it. I don't know how he can ignore a subpoena. I'm not a legal expert. If I was subpoenaed, which I hope to never be subpoenaed for anything, I would comply. being a smart person, smart enough to know what's good for me. I'm not rich. I can't ignore things. So that's my answer. Not a legal expert. I will defer to the legal experts as well. 319-366-1600 at 235. Let's get to this mock draft, and very fitting, our poll question today has to do with mock drafts. Is it too early for an NFL mock draft? That's our poll question. Your options, of course, or never. You can vote right now at kgymradio.com. We got our poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. This one from ESPN's Matt Miller, one of their draft gurus. Well, that's the question I'll post to the text line as well. And our poll question, is it too early for an NFL mock draft? I say yes, but in the interest of being a sports talk radio host, I will tell you about it regardless, because there are some interesting things as part of it. Draft insider Matt Miller putting out his first look at the 2023 class. Miller saying it's an extremely early evaluation based on tape from last year, expected progression from prospects, and expected team needs. He does note in his write-up about this draft that, of course, a lot should and will change once we actually see these players play in college, and once we learn who's coming out in the draft, who's not, who's staying in school, whether it be because they want to or because they have a lot of NIL money coming their way. We don't know, but there are a lot of different factors that have to play in yet. But this is Matt Miller's top 10. I will read them in order from 1 to 10. And the draft order, by the way, based on the Football Power Index from ESPN, based on the 2023 projections. So this is going to be your top 10 draft order if we are looking at the June 28th edition of the Football Power Index. Top 10. Number one pick, according to Matt Miller, will go to the New York Jets. Surprise, surprise. Sorry to any Jets fans. But number one to the New York Jets, Will Anderson, the defensive end from Alabama. This one might trigger some folks, but might not be unexpected. Bear fans would love to hear from you. Number two on Matt Miller's mock draft, the Chicago Bears taking Justin Fields' buddy, Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State, wide receiver at number two. Number three, the Houston Texans, Jalen Carter, defensive tackle from Georgia. Number four, year one, without Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, not supposed to be better than year two, it doesn't sound like. Marginally better. Matt Miller has them at number four, taking Eli Ricks, the corner from Alabama. Then it gets interesting with the number of quarterbacks in the final five picks. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. This is where the run on quarterbacks begins, or at least is projected to begin from Matt Miller. C.J. Stroud from Ohio State going number five to Atlanta. Keely Ringo, the corner from Georgia, going number six to the Steelers. Carolina at seven, taking Bryce Young from Alabama. Detroit at eight, taking Will Levis from Kentucky. Seattle at nine, taking Jaren Hall from BYU. And at number 10, Miller has the Giants taking Tyler Van Dyke from the Miami Hurricanes. So that's five quarterbacks in the first round alone, just based on this way too early mock draft. Miller has six in the first round in total. The five I mentioned in the top 10, and then the sixth is Anthony Richardson from Florida, going number 27 to the Indianapolis Colts. Some other notables in the mock draft. Don't want to read every single pick to you, but Miller projects, at least as of now, based on all the different factors and just kind of an early projection, Bijan Robinson from Texas, the running back, going number 11 to Miami. Jordan Addison, of course, in the news a month or two ago, his transfer to USC from Pittsburgh, number 14 to the Tennessee Titans. And then Michael Mayer, Baby Gronk, the tight end from Notre Dame, going number 15 to the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think it's way too early for this. We haven't seen these players perform in college, haven't seen their seasons play out, haven't seen the NFL team needs, obviously, the draft order. I don't know that yet. We don't know the team needs. We kind of know the team needs, but not fully understand the team needs based on how players and prospects that are already in the NFL have developed. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm not sure we're going to see five quarterbacks take it in the first round. I could be totally wrong. I'm probably going to be totally wrong. So will Matt Miller. I think Stroud and Young are probably top 10 locks. The other three, Levis, Hall, and Van Dyke, not sure. Haven't seen enough of Hall. Levis, I don't know. Not convinced he's... He might be a first rounder, not convinced he's top 10. And Van Dyke, not sure about either. That's just my humble opinion. I'm waiting for college football to start before we make judgments, but I think Stroud and Young are for sure probably top 10 guys. Just depends on where these teams land, how they do, how their free agents do, how the quarterbacks maybe these teams brought in do. A lot of different factors have to play into it yet, but that's the early top 10 from Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft expert, draft guru, talking about the latest top 10, his first projections for the 2023 first round of the NFL draft. 2:41 at KGYM. Going to take another short timeout. We will get to college football. Love to hear from you about the new scheduling procedures for the ACC. We'll get you an update on what they're going with starting with the 2023 season and explore what that might mean for the Big Ten going forward. That's coming up after the 60-second timeout at Spencer on Sports for a Tuesday.
At Boost Mobile, you get the power of the iPhone SE when you switch, which means the power to stream your favorite shows, download all the music, the power to FaceTime your ex.
It's over. Stop calling me.
On second thought, don't call your ex. Get an iPhone SE for just $19.99 when you switch. All on one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Phone offer limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. 5G not available everywhere. See BoostMobile.com for details. And stop calling your ex. She doesn't want to hear from you anymore.
Hello. Discover here to explain our cash back match. Here's how it works. We give you cash back for using your Discover card on the things you were going to buy anyway. Then we match that cash back in your first year. And that's why we call it Cashback Match. Now to recap and say cashback one more time. We match all the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year automatically. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
All right, back again at 2:42. Spencer at Sports here for a Tuesday, 319-366-1600. Poll question again at KGYMRadio.com. I don't come up with a poll question, so maybe this is... Am I being made fun of in the sports office? This will not stand. No, I don't know. But the poll question, is it too early for a mock draft? Do you agree with me where I say yes, it is? Or is it never too early for a mock draft? You can vote right now at KGYMRadio.com. Your options, of course, or never. Is it too early for an NFL mock draft? On to the world of college football. Interesting stuff. And we've had this conversation, I believe. I know I filled in for Todd and the Todd Brown Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. We've had this conversation about restructuring the schedules, restructuring the conferences when it comes to who you play, when you play them, just the general structure of the football schedule for the Big Ten. Something we've talked about, but that discussion's coming up again because you're starting to see, again, with the competition committee saying, hey, division's no longer necessary in the world of college football. You can structure your conference however you want. You can do divisions with the championship game, the top two teams meeting based on who wins the divisions, or you can just do one big happy family. 14 teams and the top two based on win percentage get to your championship game. You could structure it basically how you want. That is the word that's been put out. And you're starting to see more and more conferences do this, and the ACC is the latest to announce a new football scheduling model. They announced it earlier today, and it's the 3-5-5 structure. Each team will play a set of primary opponents annually and then play the remaining 10 teams in the conference twice every 4 years. So it would be once on the road and once at home. This new model and the first four-year cycle starts next season. So this season, you don't have to worry if you bought your college football preview. Don't have to worry about, well, this is outdated. No, it's not starting until 2023. This 3-5-5 structure eliminates the division. So you had the Atlantic, you had the Coastal. Those are gone. It's one giant division for the ACC that they announced. And the championship game is going to be the top two teams based on conference winning percentage. So it doesn't matter if, you know, two teams from the same division, are playing each other, because they're all one big happy family, essentially. I won't share all the common opponents with you, but, Clemson's ruled the league for so long now under Dabo Sweeney. Just an example for them there. Three primary opponents are Florida State, Georgia Tech, and NC State. Florida State's common opponents are Clemson, Miami, and Syracuse. Georgia Tech got no favors. Clemson, Louisville, and Wake Forest are their three primary opponents that they're going to play every year. Pitt plays Boston College, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech, just going up and down the line with how things work out. If you really want to check out the opponents, you could check out the ACC's release on this. I've retweeted that on my Twitter feed. But where it comes into the discussion is this what you'd like to see the Big Ten do, a 3-5-5? So you play three opponents annually. You play the remaining teams in the conference twice every 4 years, once on the road and once at home. Is that something you'd like to see the Big Ten do? 319-366-1600. And who would your three primary opponents, your protected rivalries? This is something that's come up. Your protected rivalries be? This is a discussion I know we've had before. You got to have Minnesota in there. You got to have Wisconsin. And the last one is up for debate. Is it Illinois? Is it Nebraska? Is it Northwestern? Is it someone else? What three primary opponents, if the Big Ten were to go to a model like this, do you want to see stay on Iowa's schedule? 319-366-1600. Like I said, I think Minnesota's got to be one of them. Wisconsin's got to be another. The Legends and Leaders divisions with with how that all played out, Wisconsin and Iowa not playing, has made absolutely no sense. But the third one, I think, could be up for debate. I really think it could be. I mean, Nebraska, you've got a traveling trophy with the Heroes Trophy. You've got a rivalry, although people might say, is it really a rivalry if the other team doesn't win? It's a pretty fierce rivalry between the fan bases. Just Iowa's been winning a lot there. Iowa, Illinois, border states. Do you keep that rivalry, quote unquote, intact, or is it enough to see it shift to every couple years we play them once at home, once on the road? Is that enough for the rivalry? Love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. Like I said, Wisconsin, Minnesota, two I think should stay on the schedule. But the third one, I could be convinced. Iowa fans, do you want to see Northwestern on your schedule every single year? With how much they've, do I say the word owned? They've had the number over the last number of seasons, especially with Pat Fitzgerald at the helm. Does Northwestern stay on the schedule? Or do you want to bite off a little bit bigger? Or do you want to just have somebody you can beat up on, like Rutgers, on your schedule each year? Indiana. Keep the rivalry with Penn State. Some great games with the Nittany Lions. Up for debate, certainly. But that news from the ACC, again, that 3-5-5 structure going into effect with the 2023 season. One other piece of college football news, the Walter Camp teams have been announced, the preseason All-America teams. One Iowa Hawkeye on the list. That is Riley Moss, second team preseason defensive team for the Walter Camp Foundation. Riley Moss, the only representative for the Iowa Hawkeyes to make either the first team or the second team. It would have been two if Charlie Jones had not transferred to Purdue. Charlie Jones making the second team preseason defense from the Walter Camp Foundation. Kick returner, he's on the list, but I have the list in front of me. You can't see it out there in Radio Land, but it says Charlie Jones, parentheses, Purdue, end parentheses. That is sure still not sitting well with some folks out there. But first team offense, quarterback Bryce Young from Alabama, Jordan Addison from USC, Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State, running back Bijan Robinson from Texas, Travion Henderson from Ohio State, second team quarterback Caleb Williams from USC, Xavier Worthy from Texas, and Kayshawn Boutte from LSU, your second team wide receivers for what it is worth. One other college football note, just saw this come across the Twitterverse as the show started. Brock Purdy, former Iowa State quarterback, named the Big 12 Sportsmanship Award winner as well. Now, of course, the final pick of the draft, Mr. Irrelevant, quote-unquote, with the San Francisco 49ers, Brock Purdy, the honor going to him, Big 12 Sportsmanship Award winner. 251, got a couple other things to get to before we step out the door here. Get you what's on tap for the rest of our local programming, too. That and more coming up in 60 seconds here on KGYM.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Thinking about gas mileage? Quality oil like Valvoline Full Synthetic can help you get more out of every mile. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Got an older vehicle? Try Valvoline Full Synthetic High Mileage options. Get what you need for better fuel efficiency at any of our 6,200 stores or on AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
GEICO presents Daily Affirmations.
Repeat after me. Our thoughts are like the ocean.
Our thoughts are like the ocean.
Our thoughts create our reality.
Our thoughts create our reality.
We're thinking GEICO offers claim service 24/7 with personalized attention from an assigned team.
GEICO offers claim service? I wasn't thinking that.
We think it and it becomes our reality.
So, what about washboard abs?
Let's give it a go. Think really hard.
Okay, abs.
Yep,
abs.
Keep thinking.
To manifest more GEICO in your life, go to geico.com.
And we are back, 252, Spencer at Sports with you here for a few more minutes on a Tuesday afternoon. We're, of course, back tomorrow, latest from the baseball world, latest NBA free agent drama, NFL news and notes, maybe some more way too early mock drafts. We'll talk about it right here, 2 until 3 each weekday with Spencer on Sports. A couple interesting things in the world of sports. One from the college basketball world, John Rothstein from CBS reporting a little bit more clarity for the Iowa men's basketball team as they prepare for the 2022-2023 season. John Rothstein reporting that the Gavitt Games lineup has been announced. The Big Ten and Big East, of course, do this series, annually. And there are 8 games on the schedule. Iowa reportedly set to take on the Seton Hall Pirates and other new head coach Shaheen Holloway, Seton Hall, on the road as part of the 2022 Gavitt Games. Your other matchups for the upcoming showdown between the Big Ten and Big East: Villanova set to travel to Michigan State, Xavier hosting Indiana, Purdue hosting Marquette, Butler is at Penn State, Northwestern at Georgetown. Hot ticket there, Northwestern and Georgetown. Nebraska making the trip over to St. John's, and Minnesota set to host DePaul. Again, all that has not, as far as I'm aware, officially been announced, but that is according to John Rothstein, who, of course, is in the know about these sort of things. But Iowa set to take on Seton Hall, reportedly, for the 2022 Gavitt tip-off games. One other piece of news from the sports world. This is interesting, too. How much would you pay to see two former NFL players in a boxing match? Well, you're going to have to answer that question pretty quick if you're interested. Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell reportedly set to face each other in a boxing match coming up at the end of July It's going to be a crypto.com arena. And crypto jokes aside, not a good time for crypto, but this is not Spencer on finances either. Crypto.com arena in Los Angeles. This is according to multiple reports. The exhibition between NFL stars is going to take place on the undercard of what's being called Social Gloves 2, which is an event highlighted by a couple of YouTubers fighting. So this is the undercard. Two former NFL players, actually current, I guess you could say, Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell, boxing each other July 30th, while two YouTubers take the headline card. Peterson and Bell never have competed in a boxing match before. Both are free agents. And apparently, while they're working to get back on the football field, going to be taking part in a boxing match. So Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell. Who would win? I got my money on AP. I don't know why. We'll see. We'll see if it actually goes off. But July 30th, mark your calendars for AP versus Le'Veon Bell in the boxing ring in LA. That'll wrap it up for us here on Spencer on Sports for a Tuesday. We're back tomorrow, as I mentioned, from 2 until 3, covering the biggest topics in the sports world. Coming up between 3 and 4, gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. They've got Jeff Johnson from the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining them today. Plenty more discussion from the sports world. That'll be coming up between 3 and 4. Todd and Alex in between 4 and 6. Ed Creech, formerly of MLBTradeRumors.com, joining them tonight around 5 o'clock with some baseball talk for you on a Tuesday evening. ESPN radio programming taking the airwaves tonight. You can catch Spain and Fitz, Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and more tonight right here on KGYM. And local programming, of course, runs every weekday from 2 until 3, or 2 until 6, I should say, kicking off with Spencer on Sports from 2 until 3. That's our show, and we appreciate your interaction all day long on the talk and text line and on Twitter as well. Forget to vote in our poll question at KGYMradio.com. You can also check out our podcasts there, too, available right after the show. Have a great day. The gym class is on the way next.